God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Good evening, friends. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. We're going to look at the lawgiver and the wicked tonight. Don't be a pushover. This is Do Not Keep Silent. I'm your host, Jason Nazurek. Appreciate you being with me here for the program. Wanted to share with you tonight out of one of our resources, The God of the Psalms, written by Charlie Wolcott, a study on the attributes, character, and actions of God in the Psalms. You can find this resource at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. It's available in paperback and Kindle. Also, I do want to direct you to Charlie's recent blog posts up on worldviewwarriors.org, and you can find it through our blog there. Click the blog tab. It'll take you right there. He's looking at sin. Severe consequences of getting sin wrong is, well, one of his latest postings. False views of the cross, many others as well. He posts every Friday morning. This last one he posted is, well, let's just say it's getting a lot of activity. I'll put it that way. And I do encourage you to find that again, worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab. It'll take you there. If you are on Facebook, you can find our Facebook page as well, Worldview Warriors. You can get in on the thread that's going on there right now. Pretty active. Again, let's take a look at Lawgiver and the Wicked tonight. Psalm 19:7 states, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." God is the lawgiver. He's not a lawgiver. He is the lawgiver. God's laws are not meant to be a legalistic establishment, where the purpose of the laws is to enforce and follow the rules. God's laws, friends, they always have a purpose. The primary purpose of the law is not to make a standard so hard that no one could actually fulfill it, though that is true, friends, but to show what sin is and what it is not. There is not a single person guilt-free of the law except for Jesus Christ. He is the only one who never worshipped any other god than God himself, never bowed to an idol nor made one. He never used God's name as a curse word nor misrepresented his name. He kept the purpose of the Sabbath, remembering God's work over the 6 days, but not abandoning needs for the sake of the law. He honored and obeyed his earthly parents. He never committed murder, nor hated anyone. Never wished anyone were dead. He never committed adultery, nor looked at another person with sexual lust. He never stole anything, no matter how small. And he never stole the glory of God by claiming that he was, well, the Father. He never lied, and he never coveted anything which God did not give him. Friends, Jesus Christ is God, though. This is where some people get confused. Friends, in Romans 7, Paul describes how he would not know what sin was, but for the law telling him what the sin was. I want to share that one more time. If you go and read through Romans 7, it can get quite confusing. In Romans 7, Paul describes how he would not know what sin was, but for the law telling him what the sin was. He treated it as a schoolmaster to define what is right and wrong. The law was never meant to be kept by man, only to expose that he cannot meet God's perfect standards requiring a savior. When man properly responds to the law, he will realize how far he falls short of meeting it, and it should send him with pleas of mercy before the feet of Jesus. Friends, the law has another function besides the conviction of sin. It makes even a simple person wise. I want to share that again one more time. The law has another function besides the conviction of sin, as so many seem to think that's all it does. No, it even makes a simple person wise. Proverbs 1:7 states that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Little can instill a proper fear of a righteous and holy God. Then knowing his laws and knowing no one can even come close to fulfilling them. When one knows the standards of God and understands how God handles sin, it will make him wise to move towards doing things God's way versus doing things human ways. God's laws are perfect, friends, exhibiting God's perfect and holy character. They are not legalistic laws, nor are they laws intended for man to be able to fulfill. They are laws that show how far man is in his sin and has fallen, and laws that Christ is able to fulfill. However, being born again does not free a person from the law. Jesus did not come to get rid of the law and make things, well, a free-for-all. He came to carry out the law in and through his children. Man cannot fulfill the law, but Christ in and through man can. The law is never to be despised because it reveals who God is, what he wants, and expresses how man desperately needs a savior. Again, tonight we're looking at the lawgiver and the wicked. Strapped up looking at the lawgiver. Again, Psalm 19:7 states, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." Psalm 19:7 for us to consider tonight. And again, I've been sharing with you and will continue to share with you out of The God of the Psalms, written by Charlie Wolcott, our blogger, author, and speaker for the ministry Worldview Warriors. This resource is a study on the attributes, character, and actions of God in the Psalms. Friends, this truly does make a really great gift for the graduate in your life. It's nice, short, and sweet, to-the-point devotions. Again, you can find it at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. I do encourage you to go find that there. Again, it's available in paperback and Kindle. And this is Do Not Keep Silent.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
Discipleship is so important. Be thankful for those men and women that come alongside of you and don't whine or complain or make excuses for you or for themselves along the way. Be thankful for the positive people in your life. They can be so few and far between. They are gifts given to you by Almighty God. Be thankful for them and be thankful to God for bringing them into your life. Remember them and thank them to their face or write them a note. How about doing that right now? In fact, I encourage you to do what it says in Hebrews 10:24. consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
As I begin this Fastcast, I'd like to encourage you to go read Psalm 51:17. Remember how Adam walked with the Lord? Well, friends, letting our work become an overflow of who we are as we walk daily with Him is to keep in step with the Holy Spirit. In this way, we give God what He actually wants. Not what we think He wants, but what He actually wants. Galatians 5:25 states, "Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." To dig more into this idea, go check out Chad Kuhn's blog post titled, "Jesus Doesn't Want My Sock Monkey."
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Again, tonight, sharing with you out of the God of the Psalms. You can find it at worldviewwarriors.org. It's available in paperback and Kindle. There's 90 attributes on the character and actions of God in Psalms. Again, the title is The God of the Psalms, written by Charlie Wolcott. Makes a wonderful 90-day devotional and 90-day journey through growing deeper in your knowledge of who God is and your relationship with Him as a person explores the God of the Psalms. Again, it's available in paperback and Kindle. Let's take a look at Psalm 2. For, as we continue on, "He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision." Psalm 2:4. Friends, the scoffer laughs at the things of God and mocks both him and any who follow after him. However, while the scoffer laughs now, it is God who laughs now and laughs last. The scoffer will not laugh for long, though. Voltaire was a famous atheist who proudly proclaimed that within 50 years of his death, the Bible would be relegated to museum displays and thoroughly removed from society. God had something else in mind and something else to say. The Geneva Bible Society bought Voltaire's house after he died and filled the house to the roof with printed Bibles. God protects His people and His book. When anyone lashes out at God, there are only two end results. That person is converted, as was the case with Paul, or that person will see failure and ruin. In 2 Kings 2, Elisha had just returned from seeing Elijah being taken up in a whirlwind. And 42 young men came out mocking him, not just for his baldness, but telling him to go follow Elijah up to heaven. They did not want anything to do with God's chosen prophet whatsoever. Elisha cursed them for it, and God sent two bears to maul them to death. When David fled from Absalom, Shimei came to mock him, but God would not speak ill. I should say David would not speak ill against him, thinking he may have been sent from God. When he returned, Shimei proclaimed his loyalty, and while David forgave him, he did not forget it. When he died, he gave Solomon orders to deal with him as he saw fit. David never sought revenge on his own, including during any of the 21 recorded assassination attempts on his life. Why? Because he knew that God was the avenger. He knew to have the final say in all matters. Man, nation, expert, scholar, scientist, psychologist, empire, and everything in between have thrown up their fist at God, raging at him while he sits on the throne. Friends, that is the nature of sin. The thumbing of the nose, the wrathful fist-shaking rebellion against Almighty God, which will not bend the knee to the lordship of Jesus Christ. Man, in his sinful nature, is in constant rebellion against God. And to be quite blunt, will do stupid things. And that which they know is wrong for no other purpose other than not doing it God's way. God laughs at them. He knows full well how foolish it is to rebel against him and how much damage it does to us. How does God laugh at the wicked? Friends, he does so by using the complete opposite of how they would do things to accomplish his goal. God uses who the world calls weak. He uses the uneducated to shame the wise. He uses the poor to shame the rich. He uses small numbers to beat big numbers. He uses sheep to defeat wolves. In every way, how the world tries to strategize their best resources, God will take the rejects and beat the best with them. The wisdom of God is so far above and beyond what this world has to offer, and he makes sure that there is absolutely no way it gets done apart from him. The wicked will rage and rail against the King of Kings, but he is the one laughing because he knows how futile and worthless their efforts are. Again, tonight, sharing with you out of The God of the Psalms, a study on the attributes, character, and actions of God in the Psalms, written by Charlie Wolcott. Taking a look at the wicked tonight and how the Lord laughs at their efforts. Psalm 2:4 states, "He who sits on the heavens, in the heavens, shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision." This is Do Not Keep Silent. Again, find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Again, you can find our paperback resources, our Kindle resources. Again, one is The God of the Psalms, studying the attributes, character, and actions of God. Makes a great graduation gift for the graduate in your life. You know, who is God? Well, we can never fully know God's character, friends, but the book of Psalms actually provides us with a rich and poetic description of who God is. Friends, this resource, this book covers 90 different attributes, actions, and character traits of God that are found in the Psalms, with explanations of how these help us to know God in our lives today. So I encourage you, yourself, or again, maybe as a gift for someone else, join author Charlie Wolcott on this 90-day journey to growing deeper in your knowledge of who God is and your relationship with him as you explore the God of the Psalms. And as we continue tonight, friends, I just received something from Katie Erickson. I mean, just tonight, just got it. She's working on another book for herself that's available for you hopefully later on this year. We think we're going to call it The Teacher, a study guide on the book of Ecclesiastes. I really encourage you, once this is available, to take a look at that as well. And please, I encourage you, yes, read the Psalms, read the Proverbs. The book of Ecclesiastes, though, is filled with so much wisdom. Years ago, when I started reading through it, I was finally like, oh my goodness, I finally understand what's being said here. It has just changed my life, changed my outlook on so much. Again, I do encourage you to find our blog posts located at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab. It'll take you there. Every single Monday, Katie Erickson releases a brand new posting. Every single Friday, Charlie Wilcott releases a posting. Steve Reisner usually releases something on Thursday mornings. Sometimes I have things available on Wednesday. Encourage you to go find those. As we continue and move toward the end of this program, I just wanted to encourage you to prune things out of your life that you know need to be gone. I've shared this a bit in the past, but Jesus said in John 15:2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Again, John 15:2. I've shared with you about our lilac bush when we had moved into our home in the country back in 2015. It had hardly any blooms on it whatsoever. And to be honest, my wife and I were a little frustrated because this lilac bush was huge. And we weren't sure if it had, well, run its course for blooming. We've done a little research, and it seems as if 80 years on a tree, a bush, is about the length of it, so we weren't sure if it had run its course or not. This bush was about 12 feet tall, and I decided to prune it way back. It went from 12 feet to 6 feet. Yeah, I got a little aggressive. I did that, though, because, well, I was to the point of wanting to replace the bush that was there anyway. So if this didn't work, well, then it just didn't work. I could just pull the bush out, put something new in there. Thought might as well go for it. Well, that was in the spring of 2019. In the spring of 2020, nothing really happened. 2021, nothing really happened as well. However, this spring of 2022, there are more blooms than ever on this lilac bush. I mean, even the air changes around it. It's just amazing. And friends, this got me thinking about our own lives and how God works in and through our lives. Yes, the Lord will prune and even discipline those he loves. But that gives us an opportunity then to grow and become mature and complete, not lacking anything, allowing us to have good fruit in our lives. But friends, I'd like to encourage you with this. When a pruning has happened in your life, whether God is the one who caused that, or you decided to take things out of your own life in order to go God's way, to go down the narrow path that he has for us. Be patient, self-controlled. Trust in God. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. Friends, keep in mind that the Lord has already shown us how to live. At times, we need to prune things out of our lives in order to receive the good gifts, you know, the good blooms that the Lord has for us. So again, please do not get discouraged when you don't see much fruit soon after making good, godly decisions in your life. Stay the course. Have hope. Sometimes, friends, just like in that lilac bush in our yard, it takes time for the good gifts to come. We see in Philippians 4:4-7. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say it. Rejoice. Let your reasonableness, your kindness be evident to all. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Again, that's Philippians 4:4-7. Again, allow God to prune the things out of your life that don't need to be there. Trust Him. This is Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason DeZurich, your host for the program. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. I'll see you next time, friends. I'll see you next time, and don't be a pushover. You go out and make today great.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.